Titans of Text.
Welcome, Moomin, Leeches, Cro-Magnons, and Ducks, I guess. What and all to the Titans of Text podcast. We are your hosts, Danny Austerity Nissenfeld.
And Eric Ostrich.
And we have with us today, Maddie and Niklas of Batmud. We're going to talk about Batmud's history, its gameplay, and its virtually unique position of being a mud on Steam. Welcome to you, Maddie and Niklas.
Hello, hello.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right, so let's get started with one of the first questions we always like to ask. So why should I, as a player, want to join Batmud?
So Batmud is one of the oldest and largest continuously running multi-user dungeons on the internet. So we got started back in April 1990, so we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. And over those 30 years, we've had hundreds of developers, volunteer developers, contribute to the game, you know, creating a lot of content, new mechanics, a different kind of systems. So there's basically an endless amount of things to do in the game. And that sets us really apart from you know, many of the other mods on the internet, the absolutely vast amount of contents and things that you can do in the game. We also have a very vibrant community, you know, bringing in a ton of players from all around the world. And that creates its own unique flair to the game as well. And, you know, you can tell that by the fact that, you know, some of our players have been around for like 20 plus years and they still find new things to do and new friends online.
Tell us a little bit about how Batmud actually got started.
Sure. And that actually links to our somewhat quirky name. So Batmud as an entity started as a little bit like a hobbyist project in the Helsinki University of Technology back in 1990. And one of the students at the computer science lab basically started a test experiment, if you like, using a mud engine. And they ran that on one of the lab computers called Batman, or they basically had named all of the servers in that lab based on superhero names. The game originally ran on a server called Batman, and that's where the name Bat comes from, you know, in the beginning of Batmud. And then over time, you know, as people found it, it was basically in the infancy of internet. There wasn't, you know, a whole lot of gaming content on the internet back in those days. More and more people, you know, found Batmud and you know, joined the development effort or you know, started playing it, and it grew from there. And you know, within a couple of years, it had basically outgrown the systems in the computing science lab, and you know, the game acquired its own servers and started running pretty much separately from the University of Technology.
I am a little curious. I've got a little bit of a follow up here that's a bit personal. So I've been mudding forever, as many of our listeners know. And one of the muds I used to play way back in the early 90s was a German mud in German. And I don't speak or read German. I just kind of bopped around as a kid. How international was your player base back in the very early days? Or was it mostly people that that were in and around the university?
I think during the first year, it was pretty much dominated by Finns. So, you know, the Finnish university area. But quite soon after that, there was a bunch of university students from the US who found the game. You know, some of them even joined the administration and, you know, started contributing code and so forth. And then, you know, we basically grew from there. So you know, Americans, you know, people from across Europe and so forth. So we actually became international quite early on. That I would say that within the couple of, you know, first years, we already had, you know, 30-40% of the player base maybe, you know, were you know, non-Finns, and then it grew even more from there.
All right, so we heard a bit how you got involved in MUDs. Niklas, how did you get involved with MUDs, Mati?
Oh, it was, I think, 98 or something. I first heard about MUDs like 96 or so. My friends were talking about it, and they had these great stories about this mysterious game, and I was not that interested at first, but 2 years later, I tried the game just for a moment, and I wandered around, and I saw some places which reminded me of the stories, and I was very, very fascinated. It was about 98 that I began, 22 years ago, and I'm still there. Marvelous, marvelous.
Since this is just, you know, to some people in the mudding world, you know, running a 20-plus year mud is not the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing, I think, to a lot of the internal community, at least, is how you got on Steam and maybe why. And why don't you take us through that decision, that history of deciding to jump on Steam?
So we've been toying with the idea of going on Steam for quite some time. And it goes back to the fact that, you know, I think roughly 5 years ago, maybe even more than that, we started our own custom client development. So basically, we, of course, knew of the different mud clients that were available on the market. All of those, of course, still work with the game, but we decided that we wanted to basically create an even more immersive user experience for players by having our own custom game client that would, you know, feature or support multiple windows and a little bit, you know, better graphical systems, you know, more colors and this and that. And you know, over time, as that custom client effort grew, we decided that, you know, we're actually going to turn this into a little bit of like a separate project, if you like. So it's still, you know, supporting and working directly with the game, but you know, the development effort is a bit separate. And that eventually led to a decision that hey, you know, let's put this client up on Steam, you know, in part because we, of course, see that there is quite a bit of attempts to attract players from other mods. You know, that's quite common among, you know, mod administrators and so forth. But, you know, mods overall is a pretty niche environment. And you know, we would love to see the overall player base of the modding community grow. So we thought that, you know, well, if we can get this up on Steam, that would be like a positive way of, you know, maybe introducing people outside the traditional, you know, mods to the modding community and, you know, get them more interested in games and even, you know, become aware that there are these kind of text-based mod games still around and operating. So we basically saw, you know, many positive sides of it. You know, part was, you know, to get people interested, of course, in our game and, you know, modding overall, people who had never heard of you know, mods. And part is to basically promote the client itself. You know, the development effort that has gone into it and, you know, really trying to create a more modern experience, if you like, that isn't, you know, entirely looking like running something on old Telnet.
Of course, a very, very vast majority of players nowadays have the Steam client on all the time when they are on their computer. If you can see that your friends are playing a game called Batmud and playing it a lot, you must be a little bit curious that what is it? Perhaps you want to try. Perhaps you want to know more. And having such a platform at your fingertips is, well, it's good promotion. So we hope.
On the note of Steam, I mean, Steam has more than just your friend is playing this game, or your friend has played this game, or your friend just bought this game. And it also has, I guess, player-created like mini communities with people sharing screenshots and all of that stuff, which they recently brought even more forward on the game pages themselves with all of the guides and community posts and stuff. Is there anything like that for Batmud, or do people actually post things to Steam in the community section?
So we have been looking into it, and you know, interesting, we've also had some of our players, for example, run Twitch streams of you know, their mudding sessions and so forth. But you know, looking at the Steam part, one of the things that we find, you know, really interesting and that we probably will develop, you know, into the game is a link to the achievements. So basically, as you do things inside the game, you know, you earn achievements on Steam that you know, are then visible to your Steam friends and so forth as well. So we are looking at you know, creating even more interaction, if you like, between, you know, the Batmud as a game and the Steam as a platform.
One more. I keep getting into the Steam thing because it's just so interesting, and of course, I'm an avid Steam user, and hopefully you'll never accept the deal to be Epic exclusive in the future. But besides that, have you ever thought about, you know, on the holiday things, the Lunar New Year, the Christmas, all that stuff, you can now, like, they've settled on this, you earn currency by buying games, and then you spend the currency on, like, backgrounds and emojis and emotes and stuff like that. Have you guys had talks about, you know, having Batmud emojis for a holiday? I think that would actually be pretty interesting.
That sounds like a fun concept, and I mean, we definitely run different kind of like holiday related events and so forth in game, and you know, maybe we can, you know, do some kind of tie in there. In general, I mean, being an all volunteer effort, pretty much, you know, we're generally not in the business of selling, you know, emojis and so forth, but you know, if we can do them free of charge or something similar like that, then that could be like a cool link. So thanks for the heads up. We'll definitely look into it.
Yeah, you got to get on the Steam card game as well. But anyway, so another fairly unique feature of BatMud is the fact that you currently have 160 players online, which is sort of a relatively unique thing in the MUD space. Is this a resurgence, or has it been pretty steady for the last few years?
Well, let's say that the player count has been stable all the time. Like, we have had a solid player base for the last forever, for the last 20 years, 30 years or so. But with the recurrence of, let's say, World of Warcraft, etc., we have had a certain, let's say, loss of players, like every other MUD has. And recently, while we put the game on Steam, it has definitely brought more players there. There is a quite good new generation of newbies partying together and exploring the realm together. And it's been very freshening to see how really new players interact with each other in such unfamiliar grounds and how they integrate with the game at large, even though it's quite an old game already. So yeah, we have had some new players.
Are they kind of like, I'm not saying foreign as in international, like from a different country, but foreign to MUDs from Steam? Have you seen any players that are just kind of like, lol, what the hell is this thing, that are just not used to MUDs? Do they, have you had trouble integrating some people to just the world of MUD? Has there been any cultural conflicts, essentially?
But when people log in, they usually just give their first reaction is like, okay, this is really a text-based game, and they might log out. But those who stay through the tutorial, it's quite, let's say, if you go through a tutorial, you get quite a good grasp on the game. And those who actually complete it, being MUDders or not, they usually stick around for a while. And we have had quite some players who have never heard of MUDs before and have been surprised that where have games like this been? They didn't even know the existence of such games. And they've been very active after finding the game.
There's also been quite many coming to us through Steam who have maybe, you know, played MUDs 20 years ago or something, and then they suddenly saw something like this pop up on Steam, and they, you know, decided to try out BatMud and were, you know, really positively impressed. And that the fact that, you know, MUDs are still around and you know, they're getting back into MUDing again. So basically, we're turning them back into you know, MUDing addicts again.
That is one of the best things to hear. Bringing people back into the fold is always a good thing. I myself, even though I ran a MUD for a good decade and was very active in the beginning, I was absent for another decade almost from the MUD community. Let's we'll talk a little bit more about something relatively related to new players. Is you guys have a lot of weird races. A lot of them are very fantasy based, and you know, some are rarer but very well known fantasy, like the various fey, like brownies versus fairies or pixies, but you also have ducks and leeches to name two. How did you come by deciding to make such divergent races for BatMud?
So it's not just the races that are divergent. I think overall we try to follow a medieval fantasy theme. But we've also given a lot of leeway to the volunteer developers to create their own content. You know, we don't enforce a very, very strict theme across the game, as long as, you know, you don't start bringing in UFOs and science fiction stuff into the game. And I think, you know, that's part of the beauty of it, that you know, with having over 100, you know, several hundred volunteer developers over the years, they've been able to come up with some of the craziest ideas you could imagine into the game, both in terms of races, but also in terms of locations to visit and storylines to do and so forth. And I think that's kind of important, you know, when you are running a volunteer effort, is to give people who contribute their time and you know, their energy and their passion to create content quite a bit of, you know, flexibility to develop storylines and ideas that might be a little bit unorthodox and then see, you know, how does that actually play out with the gaming community.
One of, obviously, I've already mentioned it a few times, very poignantly, in fact, the fact that duck is a race. What about goose? Geese are very topical right now. Have you considered adding a goose race that maybe has unlimited stun capacity with honking?
Sounds like a fun idea. We can for sure look into it. I think the background behind the duck race is that one of these traditional tabletop role-playing games, you know, featured a duck as a playable race, and they were excellent magicians or something like that. And then probably one of our developers who were, you know, playing that particular role-playing game a lot, then decided that, hey, let's turn this into a playable race also on Batmud.
And I don't know that the audience would forgive me if I didn't ask, what about rabbits? No one's decided to make a rabbit race yet?
Sadly, no.
Oh, wait. So are you a fellow Lagomorph fan? Or are you into the Leporidae?
So maybe we need to start introducing more and more, you know, furry animals as playable races or something to attract a younger audience to the game. I don't know. That sounds like, you know, a potential plot.
I would worry that it wouldn't be a younger audience that you'd attract. It would be a furrier audience, perhaps.
We have the catfolk race.
Okay, let's move on past these silly questions. What makes Batmud unique mechanically? We've talked about unique other things. What are some of the more interesting mechanical systems that set it apart?
Well, that's a long question. Let's think about it. You can have your own castles. You can build your own ships. You need to have a merchant to build you a ship. It actually takes a long, long time to create all the necessary skills to actually build it. You need to get the materials, you need to do the work, and you need to know what you are doing. You have such many guilds with such different ways of playing the game that I'm not sure if this moment is enough to go through all of them. The game is truly 30 years old, under constant development, so there's quite some ways to play it. Really, it's hard to begin even.
One of the things that I'm personally quite passionate about is developing map systems. And you know, when you think about the text-based game, you know, how do you represent three-dimensional, you know, maps, for example, just in plain text? And, you know, we were one of the first, and we're definitely the largest, you know, game that you know, is featuring a very complex and advanced map system. So as people move around the game, you know, they see themselves on maps, and, you know, that links into, you know, how we've integrated also the Bat client, that they're able to see themselves on a graphical map as they move about, you know, the areas. So you know, we have a fairly advanced, you know, world system, you know, the way that maps work, and, you know, how you can see yourself and your fellow players move around, and, you know, as you encounter hostile monsters and they start running after you, you see how they move around in the game and so forth as well. So that's one of the cool features, especially from like a coding perspective. It's, you know, one of these things that, you know, are really fun to tweak with and work with, creating line of sight and that kind of, you know, code.
One of the things that make the game unique is that for many of the wizards, it's administrators in the game, they have played the game themselves. Some of them for many years, and some of them have went through the normal content, and after that started to, let's say, get involved in the creation of the game. And by doing that, you're able to build upon the successes and mistakes of others through your own experience as a player. And when you iterate through that through years and years, you get quite a good depth into the content.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to expand on that, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the player experience, but a part of the beauty of MUDs overall is the fact that the barrier to getting involved into developing MUDs is much, much lower compared to like commercial, traditional MMOs and so forth. So, for example, on Batmud, you know, we constantly have dozens of active developers who can handhold and help new developers, you know, as they start creating new content on the game. So it's not just that we have like a vibrant player community. We have a lot of active developers that, you know, are there to mentor new people who haven't, you know, necessarily that much experience writing mod code or you know, toying with their ideas to see that, you know, how would they actually play out in a, you know, a multiplayer playable environment, that, you know, are there potential abuses and ways to cheat with the mechanics. So if there are people who, you know, are looking for a home where they could, you know, contribute with their creativity and you know, would like to toy around with you know, learning to code mods and so forth, we're more than happy to provide like a fertile ground for people to grow and develop their skills in that area as well.
I can give an example for that. At 98, when I began playing the game, I played the game extremely actively for about 4 years and managed to go through most of the playable content in the game at that point. I remember that I was whining about stupid things to the administrator at that point, and the administrator just told me that, dude, you have already went through the content of the, you have played through most of the content in the game. Maybe you are just frustrated for stupid reasons now. You should perhaps consider joining and creating the game instead. And I thought about it for a while that, okay, I have zero experience in coding and I have so much to lose. I was thinking that losing the player character was like a life-changing experience or something. But I decided to, okay, let's do it. It was year 2002 and I had basically zero actual coding experience. I had to ask for help all the time. And doing that for a decade or so, I realized that actually coding is quite easy nowadays. And in the end, it turned into a career as well. So it can have a very positive real-life effects as well. One of the things as well, like many mods have a good society systems like or houses or guilds or whatnot that are player-run, basically. But equipment, like if you have a good party, like you are going against an encounter, the preparation and the level of the encounters is something that is very, very hard to find from any other mod I've tried. You might, even the players who have played it for a long, long time still have challenge of them. It might take 9 people considerable amount of time to complete an encounter, and they might still fail if they are unable to perform, like not through their character, but by their abilities as players, by their reactions on the things that you encounter. I have seen very good raids or encounters in other mods as well, but nothing really that compares to the depth that we have.
Are we talking like complex puzzles, or is this more like a, you know, like raid combat content, you know, like raid bosses or raids and dungeons in like a World of Warcraft or something like that?
I was referring more to the encounters and raid bosses, but the puzzles themselves, there are plenty of content that you can just solo or that you need a party to, and you must solve a puzzle. And some of them have stayed unsolved for many, many, many years, and some very sought after raid bosses, only 2 people in the whole world know how to actually get to the raid boss because of some puzzles that are in the way. And the puzzles, after you've solved them, they are perfectly reasonable, but they are just built in a way, let's say, that it makes them challenging for the mind, not for the character.
I think one of the more fun raid bosses, and I'm not going to disclose the name so I don't spoil too much, but, you know, we've been trying to bridge the gap a little bit between the really high-end players who have maybe been, you know, with us for a decade and some of the newer players. So we have, you know, one of the raid bosses is actually, you know, invulnerable. You can't kill him unless you sacrifice a bunch of players first. So that forces like the high beast to basically coordinate with you know, younger players that, hey, we need you to help us on this encounter. And, you know, we're going to give you either, you know, in-game money or you know, some equipment or some of the loot, you know, from the boss if you help us take down this encounter. So, you know, we've been able to do a little bit of experiments to see that, you know, how can we narrow the gap between, you know, high beast and newbies, and, you know, give newbies also a possibility to feel really valuable, you know, in the efforts of our more seasoned players, and, you know, maybe forge some friendships that way.
I'd like to take a brief moment out of the episode for a word from one of our many sponsors. Have you ever wanted to relive the tales written in our history of mudding? Look no further than the new radio drama-style podcast, Lore of Yore. At Lore, we strive to bring to life the stories we have forged together in our years of mudding. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the immersion of full stereo sound. Just go to loreofyore.fireside.fm. That's loreofyore, one word, .fireside.fm.
So, continuing with hybies, as you've called them, is it what else do you do to keep people who've been playing for 10, 20, maybe even 30 years at this point?
So we're constantly introducing new content to the game, you know, to keep the game fresh. We have what's known as societies in the game, which allows players to create their own virtual guilds, if you like, where, you know, they can coordinate parties and raids, and it gives certain, you know, in-game benefits. And we also have what we call a house system, which allows seasoned players to basically sponsor newer players. And as those newer players grow in the game, then, you know, that also rewards the more seasoned, you know, owner of that house. So it's a way for you know, more seasoned players to be able to coach and mentor newer players and you know, feel that they are getting something in return for that effort as well. But a lot of it is really built around the community. So, you know, we have a very fun, vibrant player base, including, you know, opportunities to meet up around the world in different kind of real-life events. And I think, you know, the fact that you know, our online community works so well, and, you know, people have been able to forge really lasting friendships. So I think that you know, a lot of our players come back, you know, because the game itself is fun, but a lot of them also come back simply because they really enjoy spending time with you know, their fellow players.
One of the things that we have that is unique, that I find missing from many of the, let's say, modern games, is the reincarnation system. That when you level up a character and play it, let's say, for however long you want, and if you get bored, even for a while, you can always reincarnate. And when you reincarnate, all of the experience that you have saved, is you can spend it again. Basically, you are back to level one with all of the experience you have already gotten, and you can reallocate it to some other guild. So you can play through the game and try different classes many, many, many times and many different combinations. So it is one of the most sought after and, let's say, features that keep the game fresh for a long time for players, because there are so many combinations of guilds to play and to master that there's always new things to try.
Maybe at this point I should also mention that we're actually running a second copy of Batmud called Hardcore Batmud, which works with slightly different rules. I mean, the content is quite similar, you know, featuring the same locations and so forth. But where, for example, player death is permanent. And that, of course, raises the stakes significantly and creates a quite a different experience, as players have to be very, very careful, you know, as they go into new locations and so forth. And some of our more, you know, seasoned players have found that to be a particularly, you know, fun way of, you know, trying a slightly different kind of approach to it. That, do I dare to try to go and, you know, kill that monster with me and my two friends? Because if I, you know, suddenly die during that encounter, I'm going to lose, you know, all that progress that I made with that character. So we've been, you know, playing around with these kind of things to see that how can we make different ways of playing the game, you know, that might appeal to you know, people who, you know, like the feeling of danger and potential of real loss.
So speaking of different ways to play, so we've heard a lot of what sounds like PvE. Type content. Is there any PvP in Batmud? I imagine on the hardcore it would be a lot more tenuous, but is there PvP at all in either of them?
So our position on PvP is that it's generally discouraged. So we don't entirely prevent it. We do feel that there are legitimate situations where, you know, somebody's really being really, really obnoxious to you, and, you know, one way of getting evil is to basically, you know, kill that player online. But if that becomes you know, abusive, and you know, somebody is constantly going after another player and making that person's life miserable and so forth, and there is no real good reason for it, then we would get involved and, you know, and stop that. We also have what's known as Bloodbath. It's an in-game event that you know, turns it into a little bit of a battle royale kind of situation, where it's, you know, free for all to kill anybody, and you get points for murdering other players and so forth. But it's a, you know, fairly short span event that runs, I think, every 14 days or something like that. That it's widely announced in the game, and you know, there is no loss in participating or getting killed during that event. So there is a small element of PvP there, but it's not something that, you know, we are heavily focused on, and we do police it to make sure that, you know, nobody's life becomes utterly miserable because they're getting killed over and over again.
So I guess, speaking of staff policing, what do you guys see as the role of the staff? Do you typically do a more hands-on style?
As little as we can. Like, we try not to meddle with mortal issues unless it's necessary. It's better that the people handle these things by themselves. But of course, if there's an issue that needs supervising, then of course we do our best to resolve the issue.
Yeah, it a little bit depends on what the matter is about. If it's like an in-game thing, that then we generally try to focus on, you know, supporting people. If there is like a clearly a bug situation, something causes, you know, something to become not responsive. But then when it, you know, comes more to community matters and so forth, then of course there are certain lines that you know, we don't like people to you know, cross, and we are upfront in terms of, you know, policies about acceptable behavior, harassment, and so forth. And if we see that, you know, somebody's, you know, crossing those lines, then you know, we as administrators would have a responsibility to step in and, you know, give the person a warning and then, you know, make decisions from there. So we do of course try to keep the experience as fun as possible for you know, all players involved.
And speaking of staff and what you can control, Batmod's been around for a while. Are there any systems? Are there any features, even a race, that at this point you kind of sort of regret having made? Something that you would change if you felt like you could, but at this point it's too late, it's too big, it's too integrated?
Well, that's a good question. I'm sure all of us admins, we have our own particular things that irk us in the game that you know, looking back in hindsight, you know, we wish we would have done differently. For example, some of the map systems that we built, you know, originally when we launched them, we created way too large scales for things. It was, you know, quite time consuming to get to different places and so forth. And over time, we created mechanics that make it easier for people to move around the world, because nobody wants to spend, you know, 2 hours getting from point A to point B. In terms of thematic things, yeah, personally, some of the races that we have, you know, I don't get all of them. I think some of them are just plain right silly. As an example, at one point, you know, we had a race called Monolith, which was basically a massive piece of rock that couldn't move anywhere. And, you know, it was hilarious for a while, but, you know, there is absolutely no game mechanics that would support, you know, just having a stationary object and you as a player can never go anywhere. So that was maybe a little bit, you know, overly silly and you know, we're not really using that anymore. But hey, it's all part of the having fun when you're developing things.
So what's on the horizon for Batmod? Is there anything cool and exciting in the near future?
Yes. So we're, as I mentioned in the beginning, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. So imagine that, a game on the internet that has been around for 30 years and is still thriving. And as part of that, you know, 30th anniversary, we're actually going to be celebrating it together with our player base. So we have a couple of real life events, you know, coming up, you know, get-togethers, parties, one here in Finland, and then we'll probably schedule one in Las Vegas towards the summer period. So that's going to be quite awesome to bring in, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of players that have enjoyed the game and are, you know, active on the game and so forth, together in a few different locations, and you know, we get to meet each other and, you know, have a fun time. So there is a lot of you know, work and planning ongoing at the moment, you know, to pull those parties and events together. In game, we're constantly looking to, you know, introduce new content, new guild, new mechanics. We are working on some things specifically related to our anniversary celebrations at the moment, you know, new encounters, some old encounters that have been gone for a while that will come back in a slightly modified format now and so forth as well.
And what's the date of the official 30th anniversary day?
So officially the game opened or was created on April 14th, 1990. And you know, we'll be celebrating it in big style with a, you know, big birthday party in Helsinki, Finland on April 18th. So we have a really awesome venue booked for us and that, you know, going to be able to fit in, you know, many hundreds of players, and we'll have some bands and food and drink and so forth. So Saturday, April 18th is the big date when we'll be celebrating.
So we're going to close out with a question kind of inspired by the last episode we had with Alter Aeon and their infinite fountain of wood. Has anything happened in Batmud that's just so phenomenally weird or notable that just everyone knows this story, everyone likes to hear this story? Are there any truly epic stories out of Batmud?
There are several of those. Well, let's see. One of the greatest thefts, we have a castle system in the Batmud. And you have a castle and you have guards there that are NPCs that you can hire, and you can have chests there where you store your items, etc. One of the great hypebeasts of that time had a good, excellent, majestic castle. It was guarded, many rooms full of max level guards, that it was basically, well, fundamentally impossible for players to break into his castle and steal his items. You can set the direction where these guards block. He only blocked outside. So, and a very curious player just ran into the guards and ran through them, because they didn't block inside. They only blocked outside. Three or four rooms full of these guards. None of them blocked inside. So you could just run into the chest rooms and take everything from there. Nowadays, the castle raiding is not a thing anymore, but back in the day, it was.
We had one quite epic event some years ago. One of the demigods, in the game, an NPC monster, if you like. We temporarily made him killable, and you know, he was one of these evil demigod deities, you know, in our pantheon, and you know, he has a bunch of cultists. So we basically staged a situation where part of the player base is trying to, you know, vanquish this demigod, and part of the players are trying to boost and support him. So basically you have cultists versus, you know, adventurers kind of situation. And that was quite epic, you know, especially as an admin to watch how that plays out and, you know, the intriguing and the you know, PvPing and the threats flying around between these different groups and so forth. That was awesome.
Remember at the year, was it in the Batmud years, 666, all the lakes were turned to lava and the rivers flowed with lava and portals opened there. Demons spawned through the portals. All the ground was colored with ash, and it was all the terrain was turned into hellscape. And at some point, a huge demon arrived from these portals and set its course towards the Guild of Nuns. That is a secluded guild within enclosed by mountains. And the mortals did their best to try and stop the demon from destroying the Nuns' Guild, and by destroying the great demon, the event finally ended and the world was turned normal again.
So how long did it take the mortals to actually vanquish the demon?
I think from the beginning of the event, it took like 10, 11 hours for the event to end. But the big end monster, of course, the so-called raid boss, did not appear immediately. The players just logged into the game and everything was changed, and they were wondering many hours that what is this? And as the story unfolded, they finally met their makers, so to say, and did their best to stop it. And it was very, very, very close for them. But they finally did vanquish the monster and managed to save the world of goodness from the evil forces that be.
So we have, you know, different kind of memories, some of them created by us as administrators, these kind of like content related things. But there's like thousands and thousands of stories from our players, and usually, you know, some of them are quite silly that, you know, they remember a situation back, you know, 5 years ago when somebody made a really stupid mistake on one of the bosses and, you know, caused the whole party to wipe, and that always, you know, generates laughter and hilarious situations, you know, during this kind of player meets when they replay some of those stories and the stupid things that they've done during some of their parties and runs.
All right. Thanks for coming out, Nicholas and Matti.
Awesome. Once again, thanks a ton for having us, and you know, we wish you all the success with future episodes of this series as well. It's great to see, you know, people pulling for the modding community and you know, really trying to keep it front and center, and you know, getting people interested in mods. So thanks a ton for you know, featuring us and having us here, and you know, looking forward to talking to you in the future as well.
Thousand thanks from me as well, and keep doing what you're doing. You're doing it great. Thank you and goodbye.